Hello, and welcome to Around and About Chattanooga. I am your host, Michael Edward Miller, and today we're talking baseball. The Southern League All-Star Game is coming up June 17th here in Chattanooga. The Chattanooga Lookouts are hosting the game, and many events celebrating the Southern League and its players are happening in addition to the game. In this segment, we've got Rich Mozingo in the studio, the Lookouts general manager. We've also got baseball legend Maury Wills on the phone. He's going to be the speaker at the pregame luncheon. Welcome to Around and About.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, Mike. This is Maury Wills.
Thank you, Maury. And first of all, just about the game really quickly. The Southern League, it's obviously the league the Lookouts are part of, as many other regional teams are here in the area. The Southern League covers Alabama, Florida, Mississippi, and Tennessee. So it sounds like this game is going to be similar to Major League's All-Star game, but more regional.
Oh, very much so. We're going to have the best of AA baseball players, which is our guys that are really on the doorstep of making the Major Leagues. They'll all converge right here in Chattanooga, and it'll kind of be a fun couple-of-day event here.
And Maury, you're going to be speaking at this pregame luncheon that's open to the public. You were a Major League shortstop. You started playing with the Dodgers in 1959. A Chicago Tribune article describes you as the man who changed the style of modern baseball as surely as Jackie Robinson changed the pastime's social parameters. Why do you think they say you changed the style of modern baseball?
I don't know. It sounds like they've been listening to me, huh? Well, I came on the Major League scene in 1959. I came up June 6th after 8.5 years in the minors. And what so happened, our good friend, the late Don Zimmer, was the shortstop of the Dodgers, and he got his toe broken, so the Dodgers were looking around trying to find a shortstop to trade for. And my manager in Spokane, Washington, the Pacific Coast League, recommended me. His name was Bobby Brigham, my manager. So anyway, they called me up when they couldn't find anybody, and my Major League career just took off from there. Now, when I started on the Major League scene, the catchers were heavy hitters, but they were not good throwers. They're big, chunky guys. They couldn't even get their knees close enough together when they were giving the signs to the pitcher. And somehow, throughout my minor league career, I developed a knack of peeking in there to see what I could see. And I also developed a knack of reading pictures and getting a good jump. So I started stealing bases. Hank Aaron wrote a book in those days that all of a sudden some guy named Maury Wills came on the scene and started doing things we hadn't seen before. Well, when Hank said that, I just became that much better. It's nothing like a nice compliment to make a player, a baseball player, even better. So that's how I changed the game. I stole 50-some bases. I broke that Jackie Robinson's record of maybe, I don't know, I think it was 60 bases, 59, and I stole, broke that. And then I went on to lead the league 6 consecutive years in the National League, and I stole 104 in 1962. And that's how I changed the game. I still hold on to that.
You've said that perfect practice makes perfect and practice makes permanent. What do you mean by that?
Well, because you practice. If you're practicing all wrong, you're compounding the problem. So practice makes permanent. Perfect practice is what you need because, you see, first of all, it's been my experience, and I'm convinced of this, that we diminish by at least 20% from practice to competition.
Huh.
Because of the anxiety, fans in the stands, umpires out there, now this is for real. So players aren't as good in the game as they are in practice. So I like to practice at 100% so that I can come down to 80 in the game, and in 80% you can win. But if you're practicing at 80, you're going to come down to 60, and 60% cannot win. So that's what I mean by perfect practice makes perfect.
After your baseball career, it sounds like you got involved with drugs. I heard you were spending up to $1 million on cocaine. Is that true?
No, not that much. I did become a victim of drug abuse. I got in conflict with life, but I wish I had that kind of money. No way.
Okay, so
wouldn't
that's survive. An exaggeration.
I couldn't have survived that kind of abuse. Let me say this. My childhood dream was to be Major League Baseball player. And then Jackie Robinson came on the scene. So then my childhood desire and purpose in life was to become a Dodger. And I signed with the Dodgers in 1950. And I'm still with them. I'm living my dream. And they say, if you live your dream, you never have to work a day in your life. You can put that with perfect practice makes perfect. So towards the end of my career, I began my adulthood dream was to be a major league manager. And a few years after my final days as a major league player, the Seattle Mariners got in touch with me and asked me if I wanted to manage it. I said, yes, sir. So I went into Seattle with a team that lost 104 games the year before. And with my perfect practice and with my approach to the game, and the players just didn't want to work that hard. They didn't want to go that route. So I eventually got fired. And I got in the car and drove from Seattle all the way back to Los Angeles without stopping. Locked myself up in the house for 2 years. Embarrassed. Shame. Ego deflated. Whatever. And the next thing you know, I started drinking. And if I drank enough so that my body changed. And then I had someone in the house with me who had some drugs, illicit drugs, they refer to it as. And I got into that, and my life just went into a downhill spiral for about 6 years. Only by the grace of God am I out of it now, and I haven't had a drink in 24 years. I haven't had any drugs in 24 years. I haven't had a cigarette in 23 years, by the grace of God and the program of recovery. So I'm not ashamed of that. It's something that happened to me. It has made me a better person. I get to speak to young people throughout California and my area, not California, but throughout Los Angeles, about that. I share my life along that road with them, hoping somehow I can help them to take a better path.
I'm speaking with Maury Wills, legendary Dodger player and shortstop. Maury, you're going to be here on the 17th to give this talk. What are you planning to talk about while you're here in Chattanooga at this luncheon?
Just share my life as a baseball player with the kids. Growing up in Washington, D.C., as a young man with no future, one of the 13 children, and then fortunate enough to be inspired by a Washington Senator baseball player coming to our playground to conduct a clinic. And told me that I was good. I had a chance to have a future in baseball if I had a pair of shoes, because I was barefooted. I'd never owned a pair of shoes in my life. And at the time, I was about 8 years old. And believe it or not, 8 years old. So when I was 17, the Dodgers signed me. And I played in 7 All-Star games. I share that with him. I was the MVP in the All-Star game in Washington, D.C. And that particular year, I went back to the projects and stayed with my parents and had all my little friends over that I left behind there, and because I was a big star now, and I shared with them what it was like. Went back to the game the next day and became the MVP of the game. I'm so grateful for all this kind of stuff. I'm tearing up. More than likely, I'm going to share that with the audience, and in particular with the young players, how I became an obscure minor league player 8.5 years, too little, couldn't hit, afraid of the curveball. God put a man in front of me as my manager in my 7th year named Bobby Bregan, who was from Birmingham, Alabama, who refused to play with Jackie Robinson because of the color of his skin. And then just a few years later, he's my manager, and he put his arms around me. Bobby somehow began to have developed an open mind, and when he put his arms around me and suggested what I needed to do, said I could run, throw, and field, but I was afraid of the curve. I had an open mind, too, because I'd been told that many times, I'm sure, and I denied it. I'm not afraid of a curveball. No man likes to admit that he's afraid of something, and I was one of those. And so when Bobby put his arms around me and said he thought I was afraid of the curve, it was as if God had said, you shut up. I'm just keep quiet this time. And I didn't. I did. I just kept quiet. And he came, said, come out the next day, and we practiced. And would you believe, in a short time after that, Don Zimmer got his toe broken, and I got a chance to go to the Dodgers. I was kind of weak, and I knew I was going back to the big leagues, so I mean the minor leagues. So I went to Pete Reiser, the great Dodger from the Brooklyn days, and ran into the walls, who's responsible for the type of fences we have today with the padding, because Pete Reiser got concussions from running into the brick walls. And he was the man that put his arms around me and said, come out tomorrow early, 2 hours before everybody else. And we worked and worked and worked. Before you know it, I was an all-star, and I was the captain of the team. I was Duke Snyder's captain. I was Don Zimmer's captain. I was they had traded Don Zimmer to the Mets when they decided that I could do the job. I was Duke Snyder, Sandy Koufax, Don Drysdale, all these hardcore Major League Baseball tobacco-chewing players that came from Brooklyn, and little me, I'm their captain. And I had a great manager in Walt Austin, who's a Hall of Famer, the late Walt Austin, who really believed in me. And I got 14 years in the big leagues with that. Seven All-Star games, 4 World Series, 3 World Champions, and I'm still with the Dodgers. I mean, I'm a blessed person. And that can happen to any one of the young players who would be sitting in that audience if they're just willing to get into perfect practice.
And, Rich, there's also an event on the 16th, the day before the big game, a home run derby. And this is helping to benefit something called the RBI program here. What is the RBI program?
Well, the RBI program is run by Major League Baseball, or funded by Major League Baseball, and it's revitalizing baseball in inner cities. And it sounds like it would have been perfect for Maury Wills when he was growing up. It takes young kids in the inner cities that don't have the opportunity to play otherwise. All their fees are paid, and they get to go out and participate in baseball in our inner cities. So we're very fortunate to have the opportunity to team up with these guys, and Maury coming to town with his background and with his knowledge of exactly what's going on here. We're just very fortunate to have all this coming together in Chattanooga in about a week.
And it sounds like this is a pretty big deal. I mean, Chattanooga doesn't get to host this every year. It's more like a once-a-decade kind of thing.
It is once a decade. There's 10 teams in the minor in the Southern League, and it rotates around. So we're very fortunate to have it for 2014, and we're going to make the best of it. We're going to take some of the spotlight and put it right on this RBI program and hopefully raise some funds for them and put them more in the spotlight. Every dime that we raise on the luncheon that Maury's going to speak at, every single dime is going to go straight to the RBI program in Chattanooga.
How can people find tickets, more information, things like that?
Well, the best thing for them to do is go to lookouts.com, or they can call us up at the Lookouts at 423-267-2208.
Rich, Maury, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for sharing that, Rich.
Well, it's going to be a fun day, and I appreciate you, Mike. Thanks.
Thank you.